We continue our study today in Mark 12, verses 35 through 37. As we saw in our last study, Jesus Christ had confronted the scribes, the Pharisees. He had confronted the people with a question. After they had questioned him and questioned him and questioned him, we saw with the Pharisees and the scribes, they really didn't want to know the answer. They were trying to set him up. They were trying to cause him to stumble for him to say something foolish in front of the people. Now, Jesus turns the tables, and now he confronts them by asking these men a question. Asking them a question from Psalm 110, verse 1. Let us look at Mark 12, beginning in verse 35. Then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son? That verse that I just read was acknowledged by all Jews to be a reference to the coming Messiah. Jesus points out that a careful reading of that verse reveals the truth that the Messiah will be more than a man. Today, in today's message, you're going to hear about Jesus Christ. This is going to be about Christ. The first Lord in Psalm 110, verse 1, is the Hebrew word Yahweh. The second Lord that is mentioned in that verse is the Hebrew word Adonai. The idea in that verse is this. The Lord, Yahweh, said to my, meaning David's Lord, Adonai. In other words, David addresses the Messiah as his Lord. As his Lord. The implication is clear. The Messiah is to be a man. But he is to be more than a man. He is to be God as well. Jesus is very clearly declaring the deity of the Messiah. When David, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool, he was placing the Messiah in a position of authority that was co-equal with Almighty God. The word sit in that verse speaks of a continuous sitting. God will elevate the Messiah to a place of equal exaltation with himself. Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11 tells us this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, meaning Christ, and given him the name which is above every name. Every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. The same one that David is talking about in our text. The Lord said to my Lord, Jesus Christ, the Messiah must be God, because he'll be in a position of absolute equality with God in his honor, in his power, in his glory. Jesus Christ is not only man, but he's also God. The clear implications of this can be seen in what Jesus says next. Jesus therefore calls him Lord. David therefore calls him Lord, and where is he then his son? In that society, a father would never, never, ever call his son Lord. A father never rendered that kind of honor to a child. Children was considered property and never superior to their fathers. Yet David looks at this one who is to be his son and calls him Lord. This is a declaration that the Messiah is to be more than a man. He is to be the God-man. When the Jews heard this, they were absolutely dumbfounded. They had no answer. This unlearned carpenter had put them to shame in the very area where they were supposed to be the experts. Jesus interpreted the scripture in an accurate, clear way that they could not refute. Interpreted the scripture in an accurate, clear way. The same way we are to interpret the scripture, in an accurate, clear way. What these Jews did not want to see, much less acknowledge, was that Jesus was clearly claiming to be the Messiah. In fact, he had proven his identity time and time again. Who do you say today that Jesus Christ is? Who do you say that Christ is? Christ proved by his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus had arrived on the very day predicted by the prophet Daniel. He arrived in the precise way that the prophet Zechariah said the Messiah would come. This should have been proof enough. Is it proof enough to you? His words, not only his triumphal entry into Jerusalem proved who he was, his words proved who he was. Everyone who heard him speak was awestruck by what they heard. It said, never a man spoke like this. Do you think of Christ that way? Matthew tells us, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Do you look at Christ that way? And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? No one ever spoke like Jesus Christ. His entering into Jerusalem proved his identity. His words proved his identity. His works proved his identity. Jesus had proven he was the Messiah on many occasions. He met and exceeded every Old Testament prophecy that predicted what the Messiah would do when he came. Christ fulfilled all of these things. Turn with me to Isaiah 61. Let me ask you the question. Does this sound like anyone in history? Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That is what Christ has done in the lives of the people. It also tells us all throughout the scripture, he would open the blind eyes. He would heal. He would do all these miraculous things. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he is the Son of David. He is the Son of God and Son of David. According to the genealogies in both Matthew and Luke, Jesus was a direct descendant of David. And he was in line to be the next king of Israel. On a dozen occasions, Jesus was called the Son of David by the common man. Jesus was the Son of David, is the Son of David. Jesus Christ was a man. Not only was he God, he was also a man. All the evidence proves it. He had a human mother. Many today would think that Christ was just a spirit. He was a man, not only God, but a man. He had a human mother. He had a human body, a soul, a spirit. He looked like a man. He possessed flesh and blood. He grew. He asked questions. He increased in wisdom. He prayed. He was tempted. He learned obedience. He hungered. He thirsted. He was weary. He slept. He had compassion. He was angered. He grieved. He wept. He experienced joy. He was troubled. He sweat drops instead of blood. He suffered. He bled. He died. And he was buried. He was a man. He was a man. While Jesus was a man, though, he was also God. This is who you have to deal with today. The God-man, Jesus Christ. And he is either your Savior and the love of your life, or he will be your judge. And he will be the one that condemns you. Christ was a man. Christ was God. Christ came into the world. He was God born as a man. That's the clear teaching of the Word of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. Let's go back to Philippians 2. Let's look at this Jesus Christ again. I mentioned Philippians 2 before. Let's look at it again. Let's look at verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. Notice. This is speaking of Christ Jesus. This is not speaking of any other man in the history of the world. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Here's God. Being made of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Christ comes into the world. The God-man comes into the world. This one that I speak of today, that's spoken of in Mark 12. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Let me just mention a few things about this Lord that David is talking about. This Lord that you should be saying, and the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. This Lord is omnipresent. He's omnipresent. He's all present. Do you realize in Matthew 18, even though this is a verse dealing with discipline in the church, this is what it says in Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. How is that possible? From a mere human being. That's omnipresent. All present. All present. Omnipresent. Two or three gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. How in the world is that possible? That a human being could be in the midst of two or three gathered in the United States, in China, in Africa, in Europe, in the Middle East, and two or three gathered in his name for church discipline. He's in the midst of them. How is that possible? How is that possible? I lift up today to you the omnipresent one. Not only is he omnipresent, but he's omnipotent. He's all present, omnipotent, all powerful. He's the all powerful one. Realize this is what it says about Jesus Christ. If you think that he's a mere man, or that he was just a spirit, or that he was a great teacher, let me just tell you what Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3 says. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, to whom also he made the worlds. Jesus Christ made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels. Notice, the express image of God, the Son of God. He made the worlds. He upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down. Here he is, his power, omnipotent, holding the worlds, upholding all things by the word of his power. He had by himself purged our sins. See, we had to have our sins paid for. And it was only the God-man that could pay that for our sins. He was the only one that was sinless, that qualified, that earned the right. That earned the right to be able to have eternal life. For the soul that sinneth shall die. But those who kept all the words of God the Father earned eternal life. And there's only one that has ever done that, Jesus Christ. He's sovereign, omnipotent. He's omnipotent over disease. He healed. He was omnipotent over Satan. He had the victory over Satan. He cast out Satan. He has the victory and power over demons, the power over men, the power over nature. Do you realize that this Christ stood up in a boat in the middle of a storm and said, "Be still"? And the storms obeyed him. Who do you think that this Jesus Christ is? He's sovereign over men, sovereign over nature, sovereign over sin, sovereign over tradition, sovereign over the Sabbath, sovereign over the temple. He's sovereign over death itself, physical death, spiritual death. Not only is he sovereign, omnipotent, omnipresent, but he's also omniscient. Omniscient, knowing, all-knowing, omniscient. He knows all things. John 16, verse 30 tells us this. "Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe you came forth from God." Now we are sure that you know all things. Do you know this Christ? Is this the Christ that you believe in? And the Lord said to my Lord, this is what David said, "And the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand." Who do you worship today? Do you worship your tradition? Do you worship your religion? Do you worship your denomination? Are you worshiping Allah? Are you worshiping Hinduism? Are you worshiping Buddhism? Are you thinking that you can come to the Father apart from Jesus Christ, which is what takes place in Judaism? There's no need of Jesus Christ. We go unto the Father. What God do you worship today? Who do you say Christ is? He's omniscient. He knows all things. He knew the crowds. He knew the problem of the disciples. He knew the whereabouts of Nathanael. He knew the history of the Samaritan woman. He knew the wickedness of the scribes and the Pharisees, and he knows your wickedness. He knew the true nature of Judas. He receives worship, not only from men, but from angels. He received worship from the wise men. He received worship from the leper. He received worship from the Jewish rulers. He received worship from a broken-hearted mother. He received worship from the mother of James and John and from the maniac of the tombs. He received worship from the man born blind. Does he receive worship from you? Will you say, as Thomas said today, "My Lord and my God"? Who do you say that this Christ is? Can I lift up Christ anymore to you? He received worship from the woman at the empty tomb. He received worship from the disciples. Will he receive worship from you today? For you will worship him, for every knee shall bow before Jesus Christ. And the question is, will you do it now and be in heaven, or will you do it then in the day of judgment when you cast into hell? Will you worship him today? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Who do you say that this Jesus Christ is? And if you say he is your Lord, is he your Lord? Do you act towards him as he is your Lord? Or do you behave as if you're the Lord of your life? And David said to his Lord, David said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Who do you say that he is? Therefore, David calls him Lord. How is he then his son? Do you call him Lord today? He received worship from Thomas, from the woman at the empty tomb, from his disciples. Not only that, he's more than a man. He had to be the God-man, for he forgave sin. Only God forgives sin. This Jesus Christ possesses all power. He forgives sins. He's the source of life itself. He's the creator of all things. He is the preserver of all things. He alone can meet our needs and does meet our needs, but not necessarily our greeds. That's the idolatry of American religion today. They portray Christ as the one that meets all your greeds. He doesn't meet all your greeds. He meets all your needs. And we're to serve him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He alone meets our needs. He's the final judge. He's both the Lord of glory and the King of kings. Look at Revelation 19, verse 16. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written. King of kings and Lord of lords. Do you not understand? Every knee will bow before him. Muhammad will bow before him. Before the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All will bow before him. You will bow before him. Will you bow before him today? That is the question. Bow before him today. Will you worship him today? Will you proclaim him as Lord today? Will you acknowledge that he is omniscient, omnipresent? Will you acknowledge these things today? The Lord Jesus Christ proved who he was 2,000 years ago, and he proves who he is today. He fulfilled every prophecy related to his coming. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He was clearly who we claim to be. Yet the Jews refused to accept him. And where do you find yourself today? Have you accepted him? Is he Lord of lords and King of kings in your life? They refused to acknowledge him as their Messiah. And the result of that rejection for Israel was their judgment as a nation. He had come to his own, and they received him not. And that nation was judged. Now he comes to each and every individual that's hearing the gospel. And the question is, they refuse to receive God's Messiah. Do you refuse that? They refused to receive God's Messiah, and God rejected them. And Israel was given over to the Roman Empire and that pagan government. And that pagan government became the very scourge that God would use to punish them. Where do you find yourself today? Who do you say that this Christ is? Who do you say that this Christ is? Oh, hallelujah. I don't know how much more I could have lifted up Jesus Christ today. The things, the titles that I just brought forth to you, that's why he's worthy of praise. That's why people have worshipped him for thousands of years. There's no one like him. There's no one in history like him. There's no one spoken of like him, sung of like him. Went to their death freely. Do you realize that Christians go to their death singing and praising Jesus Christ? When they were led into the Colosseum, families, husbands and wives and children led to be slaughtered before lions and tigers, eaten alive for the faith, that they were singing praises to Jesus Christ? I mean, do you know this Jesus Christ? Or are you some kind of person that plays religion on Sunday morning for an hour or two? And then you just live your life because you're Lord of lords of your life. Do you know this Christ? Do you worship this Christ? But David himself said, by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Every enemy of Jesus Christ shall become his footstool. Therefore, David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. Where do you find yourself today? Have you heard him gladly?